Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read the entire chapter of 18 verses. And please keep it in front of you and think about it when I'm doing this study. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Lest such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed unto us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other man's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And I pray that you reveal to us the truth by your Spirit and help us to glorify you in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. I happened to notice this morning when I was looking over the messages that I'm going to bring to you that Acts chapter 18 shows up a lot. So if you want to be ahead of the game, I'd sometime read Acts chapter 18. I don't know your method in studying the scriptures, but for myself, when I read the writings of Paul, I try to read what's going on in the book of Acts so I can get an idea of what the people might be thinking that he's writing to. Acts chapter 18 is the record of Paul's dealings with the people in Corinth. And I find that very helpful myself to kind of always keep that in mind as a background to what he writes. That way you can understand more of the truth. Like the believers in Corinth of Paul's day, we find ourselves living in a society that does not know God, with little regard for a God who is separate and apart from the sins of men. Men have created a God who is like them, and not the God of the Bible. The walk of faith has become nothing more than being kind and generous towards others. The morality of today is devoted to the satisfaction of self-indulgence. There is little knowledge of the leadership of the Spirit of God. The truth of spiritual warfare of the believer is seldom heard. The pursuit of personal holiness has been replaced with service to humanity or service to a church. Today, it is as it was in the time of the judges. Men have denied themselves the light of judgment from the true word of God and govern themselves by what is right in their own eyes. The believers in Corinth in Paul's day found themselves in a situation very similar to believers today. The city of Corinth was a place of very low and very few moral standards. It was considered by the Romans to be a place to go to celebrate any of the pleasures of the flesh. Kind of like the Canal Street in New Orleans, I guess. That's considered to be a place to celebrate any pleasure of the flesh. A believer who lived in Corinth was surrounded by ignorant and ungodly men who lived for the pursuit of self every day. Within the assemblies of believers in Corinth, there were some among them who professed Christ, yet still clung to error. They did not understand the spiritual warfare of the believer. There were some who desired to be teachers, yet still clung to the ways of the flesh. Paul had sent Timothy and Titus at various times to Corinth to instruct them in the truth. The believers there had to understand that they were involved in a serious warfare on a spiritual plane. In Corinth, the corruption of men who were given over to pleasure surrounded them. Believers needed to understand that their responsibility to Christ involved more than just presenting an outward show before men. They needed to be told that the true battle of the believer is first in his own heart and mind. It is most important to bring your thoughts and motives under the obedience of Christ. This is a spiritual struggle of the believer. Paul, he told them in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "We do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Today, men do the same thing. People concern themselves with how they appear before others and pay little attention to the true duty of the believer, neglecting the true warfare of the Spirit. In fact, many men are not even aware of the spiritual warfare of the believer. They know only the outward, carnal things of the flesh, perhaps priding themselves that they are not as other men are in their actions, while their thoughts are not holy before God. They lose themselves in trying to clean up others and neglect the true battle in their own soul. They are like the Pharisees who were once addressed by the Lord. They appear clean on the outside, but inwardly they are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. One reason that so many are ignorant of this conflict is because they understand so little of the truth given to Paul. They may be familiar with the Gospels and the life of Jesus of Nazareth. They attempt to keep the sayings of the earthly Jesus, but understand little of the words of the ascended and heavenly Christ. Because of their neglect of the truth given to Paul, they know only the carnal things of Christianity. When Jesus was in the flesh, the spiritual, ascended, and heavenly Christ, they do not know. Paul is the apostle who was sent with the truth from the ascended Lord. It is through him we learn of the spiritual warfare of faith. Paul speaks of this warfare in the second letter to the Corinthians with these words. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now that is spiritual warfare. The believers in Corinth were in a situation very similar to us today. These words of Paul are as important to us as they were to those who first heard them. In order to look at them in the right way, we need to understand the topic of the chapter that contains them. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It was crucial to the believers in Corinth to understand Paul's authority came from God. He has told them earlier that he taught only the things he received from the risen Christ. He told them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 37 and 38, these words, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." He follows these words with a warning about the danger of not understanding the importance of his authority. "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." Paul often faced men who doubted his authority. He continued to defend it before these believers in Corinth. In the letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there are many instances where he speaks about the authority he had been given. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is the beginning of a passage of Scripture where the authority of Paul is the foundation of the truth it contains. If Paul didn't have God's authority, what he teaches is worthless. This passage is concluded in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, with these words, "Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction." 2 Corinthians chapter 10 provides a good foundation to help understand the authority of Paul presented in the last three chapters of this letter. I will begin with what I believe is a good overview of this chapter. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 and 2 are about Paul's authority. Paul was bold toward them in his God-given authority. In verse 1, "I am bold toward you." Verses 3 and 6 are an exhortation of Paul about the responsibility of a believer. The believer is to understand that his duty is in the spirit, not only in the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Verse 4. He had told them earlier in this letter that they had the knowledge of Christ given to them through the same Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 7. He reminded them in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, in verses 7 through 16, they are also about the authority of Paul. His responsibility before God was to build up believers in the faith through edification. His duty was not to destroy or harm their faith in any way. Verse 8. This chapter concludes with a final exhortation of Paul with a reminder of believers of two things in verses 17 and 18. These things were that it is most important to glory only in the Lord and to rely only in the authority and praise of God. It was most important to these believers to understand that Paul got his authority and teaching directly from the risen Christ. It is the same today. For in order to understand the complete truth of God and what he has for men, we must understand the authority of Paul. As it is today, there were teachers in Corinth who questioned Paul's authority. They mocked the preaching of Paul with these words, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." Closer examination of this chapter will show you some of the things they said about Paul. Many of them are similar to what misinformed men say today about the teachings of Paul. The result of this information had the same result then as it does today: ignorance of the true warfare of the believer. In verse 2, Paul speaks of the fact that these teachers in Corinth said that his confidence came from his flesh or from his own authority. But I beseech you that I may be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, there were some people in Corinth that said that Paul taught without the authority of Christ. Paul replies to this by asking these believers to consider the effect of truth he taught had upon their lives with these words in verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. The teachings of Paul do not cause disunity or conflict among believers. By comparison, the teachings of these misinformed men in Corinth had resulted in disunity within that assembly. Paul was speaking of how they had mocked his authority in verse 10. These men were also distracting from the truth taught by Paul by mocking him in comparison with themselves. Paul said this in verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I believe Paul is speaking of himself, Timothy, and Titus, and the truth they had taught these believers by the term we. In 2 Corinthians 1:1 and 8:23, Paul is saying that he, Timothy, and Titus did not look to these false teachers in Corinth for confirmation of their authority. They knew where it came from. Paul emphasized the power of Christ in his words to them by these words in chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Some men in Corinth were saying that because what Paul taught was so different from what they taught, that Paul must be way off base. They all disagreed with Paul's doctrine, so he had to be wrong. Paul reminds these believers that he came to them as a representative of Christ with a correct attitude, meekness, and gentleness. His teachings only built them up in their faith. He did not bring disunity or destruction among them. He came among them preaching the gospel or good news of Christ in verse 14. It's interesting because that's the same thing I've heard, and I'm sure you all have, where you try to put out the authority of Paul and people will tell you they're building up Paul and forgetting Christ. Well, that's questioning the authority of Paul. The same thing these Corinthian believers heard. And you also will find that people are constantly, because they don't understand the authority of Paul, they're constantly in a state of bickering and argument and comparing themselves among themselves. My own personal experience and what I try to do for myself, and I think it's good advice, not just because I do it, but I think it is that to try to be conscious to not compare my standing or what I think to someone else in a detrimental way, because the gospel should only be for edification and never to destruction. And I recall people in times that I've known in times past coming on to someone who may differ with them on a point in such a way as to destroy them instead of try to edify them or build them up in the faith. The word edify means to instruct with patience. Paul did tell Timothy to teach with patience. So our responsibility to our fellow believers is never to destroy their faith, but tend to edify them or build them up in what they believe. And Paul was telling these people in Corinth that those that question his authority are destroying their faith of the other believers, where Paul always built them up. And there is always a true measure of if you heard the truth or not. Dusty used to say that if you've heard something that caused you to become closer to Christ, well, then it's the truth. Well, that's really what Paul is saying here in a roundabout way. There are some verses in this chapter which have puzzled me for some time. They are verses 12 through 16. I have found the key to understanding them by coming to understand what Paul meant by the word measure. The word is an athletic term spoken in reference to an Olympic event. The measure was a determined distance in a race that was predetermined by those in authority over these events. It was the rule by which the race was measured. Paul is saying that he was sent out by God to fulfill his measure or course. With this in mind, consider verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 18 is the record of Paul's coming to Corinth, which was the capital of the Roman province of Achaia. In this chapter, the Lord spoke to Paul about the people of this city with these words, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Now, by using the term measure, Paul is speaking in reference to these believers that God had told him that he had much people in this city. So his authority came from God. God had given the measure or the rule. He was there for a divine purpose or divine command. And he didn't really care what they said about it, but it was according to his measure. God had predetermined that he talked to them people. And knowing that, he was going to do it, despite what they may say. Paul understood that the Lord had given him the authority in this course or measure. God had many people to call out of this ungodly city through the preaching of the gospel. Paul did not fear these men in Corinth who would trouble him. He understood he was sent to Corinth by a divine appointment. He reminds those in Corinth that he had preached the gospel of God to them freely. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted, because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? It may be that those who denied Paul's authority, spread false rumors about him, had also sought payment from these believers in one form or another. In that way, they had proved themselves as deceitful workers and false apostles of Christ. Paul said this about these men by comparison in chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Reading 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 20 will show you that these false apostles brought bondage, not freedom, to these believers. They took advantage of them, and they gloried over them. Paul only exhibited the love of God toward them. What he taught them only built them up in Christ and edified their faith. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Today, men still deny Paul's apostleship, calling into question his teaching of salvation by grace through faith alone. Misunderstanding the authority of Paul denies men the ability to understand the true spiritual warfare of the believer. They do not know where the struggle is. They do not know the weapons to use in the conflict. They will remain weak and defeated, unable to rise up as a man complete in Christ Jesus. Not knowing that the believer faces a spiritual battle within themselves, they will fall prey to the whims of men who know only the realm of things that are seen. They will never enter into the unseen spiritual battle against sin in their life. and never come to understand the transforming power of the gospel. Consider these words of Paul. I have combined some thoughts of verses 7 and 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The subject of this study is the true struggle of the believer. In order to better understand this struggle, we've looked at some of the background to the situation the believers of Corinth were in. We have seen it is very similar to our own in these ways. First, they are surrounded by a society given over to self-indulgence. Secondly, they had men who desired to teach them that did not understand Paul's role in the plan of God. The third thing, these men mocked Paul in many ways and questioned his authority. The fourth thing, these men presented a false sense of the war of faith to the believer. These false apostles had presented the wrong message to these believers. The letter of 2 Corinthians has the conflict between the truth taught by Paul and the error taught by these men behind it. Paul appeals to these believers to understand that he does not corrupt the word of God. In chapter 2, verse 17, and chapter 3, verse 2 of this letter, he said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Those that had true faith in Corinth knew and understood that the proof of the truth preached by Paul was that their faith increased and that they were to be edified or built up in Christ. The proof of the truth was that they were edified or built up in Christ. Not that long ago, I had a discussion with a believer, and I told her, I said, "You will know the truth. A believer knows the truth when he hears it. And the reason that is so is because it causes you to become closer to Christ. It doesn't raise up yourself. So that's always a true measure." That's the proof of the truth. In chapter 10, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, Paul is speaking to these believers about how the power of the gospel of God had sought them out and delivered them from the bondage of the flesh. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other man's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule, abundantly." In other words, the Lord is going to fulfill what he said, and you're going to increase in your faith. The other thing was that God had delivered them from the bondage and disobedience of sin. He mentions two things in this letter. One is the gospel of God, and the other was the gospel of Christ. In chapter 10, verses 8, chapter 10, verse 11. Excuse me, let me get this straight. All right, beginning in chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, chapter 11, verse 7, and chapter 10, verse 14. I read chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And now chapter 11, verse 7, he says this. "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" Chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "For we stretch not ourselves, beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel of God was the plan of God to bring salvation to all men, Jew and Gentile. He began by preaching them that in Corinth, that God would be gracious unto all men, that Christ came to die for all men. The gospel of Christ is the power of the gospel of God, for it frees men from sin through the resurrection. The teachers in Corinth were not preaching the resurrection. They're not preaching the gospel of Christ to those, and they're holding Paul to blame because he was. To them, for that is what's behind the statement where Paul says, "For our weapons of this warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. The spiritual battle belongs to the resurrected believer." That's the comparison between the two. In doing the study on this chapter, I found that in these verses, Paul is making an allusion to a city that is under siege. Paul often uses a picture of warfare to present the struggle of the believer. Other examples where Paul does this are in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, the city under siege is the believer who was held in bondage to the flesh by the false teachings of men. These are the things that are carnal, alluded to in verse 4. These teachings were promoted by the false apostles. Paul identifies them in verse 3 with these words, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Paul is saying that even though he, Timothy, and Titus are human, their message is not. They bring a message of the truth of God against the teachings of men. The truth that they brought will free men from the bondage of the flesh. The gospel of Christ does that. The believers in Corinth needed to understand that Paul's message would bring them hope and increase their faith. It would not yield strife in the things of the flesh. In Paul's day, the heathen teachings of the philosophers of ancient Greece were evident everywhere. They used logic and reason as a basis for what they believed. They had developed a system of ethics based upon their logic and teachings. Many of these things had no basis other than what appeared to be the desires of the flesh. Within their system of belief, there were many gods. Each one represented a passion of human condition. Their gods were similar to them in many ways. In fact, the emperor of Rome was considered to be one of the gods. Refusal to worship Caesar led to the martyrdom of many Christians in the early persecutions of the church. These false beliefs also had different rituals of purification of the body and cleansing of the mind that were practiced. These things usually involved rituals and sacrifices to their many gods, or at least a fulfillment of self-gratification. As you know, self-gratification is not always an immoral thing. It can be putting yourself above the things of God. All of these things were of fleshly or carnal origin. They lifted up the reasonings and logic of men over the truth and power of God. The false teachers in Corinth sought to bind the believers in this assembly to the false teachings and logic of the flesh. This doesn't sound so strange to me today as I observe Christianity. For Terry and I the other day were discussing just something along these lines, and we reached the conclusion that people believe what they want to believe, really. There's no measure of authority. Recently, there have been events in the news that have been kind of disturbing to me, the way the country seems to be headed. There's no standard of biblical truth, and it's all done under something that men thought of. This is very similar to Corinth in a lot of ways. All of these things were of fleshly or carnal origin. They lifted up the reasonings and logic of men over the power and truth of God. The city of things that are carnal bound men strongly to the bondage of the flesh. The souls were chained by the strength of reason and logic. The practice of ungodly and immoral deeds bound them to the pursuit of pleasure and glorification of self. They had strongholds within their hearts that comforted them in the teachings of men. These were based on the teachings of such men as Aristotle and Plato, the belief in destiny and fatalism taught by the Stoics created an unmoving and hardened heart to the truth of a single sovereign God who had created and controlled the universe. They are bound to the things they could see and obedient only to the feelings of the flesh. The things that bound those in the carnal city of Corinth were laid siege to and defeated by the truth preached by Paul. He begins his presentation of this fact by reminding the true believers there how God had moved among them and delivered them from bondage. Paul told them this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul is calling to the remembrance how the power of the gospel had liberated them from the bondage of ignorance that once held them in disobedience. Paul had brought the truth to them when they were surrounded by the teachings and beliefs of the carnal city of Corinth. These believers knew and understood that it was the power of the gospel that worked in them and changed their manner of thinking. Paul reminds them of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, with these words, "Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." Paul said this in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 10, that the believer's war and the believer's weapons were not of the flesh. They were mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of ideas that bind men. The power of God cast down all imaginations or thoughts that they once held that were against the truth. Their minds were free from the captivity of unbelief. Their minds and wills were now held captive to the desire to obey Christ. This is the effect of the gospel or good news of Christ on the lives of men. It liberates them from the error of unbelief. The record of Paul coming to Corinth is recorded for us in Acts chapter 18. In this chapter, you'll find that those of Israel had no desire for the truth. Paul followed God's directions and brought the good news or the gospel of God to the Gentiles. This was the message that the Almighty God had granted the Gentiles, the mercy of faith. Paul preached the liberating truth of personal identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to the Gentiles, and many believed. This gospel of Christ liberated them from the carnal city of the flesh that had once bound them to the truth of the gospel. This is the power and the work of the gospel among men. The believers in Corinth have much in common with us today. They lived their lives in a society that did not know God. They had men in their assembly that were ignorant of the truth of the gospel. These men were more concerned about their glorification of self than they were with the building up of the saints of God. It was the truth of the gospel that liberated those who believed from the powers that once held them in bondage. Today, the saints of God find themselves in a similar situation. We live in a country that has forgotten the God of the Bible. They have accepted anything to be the word of God. They have created a God that is like them in many ways. The truth of God is now dependent upon the desires and results of the reasonings of men. Among those who profess to know the Lord, there is little knowledge of the importance of Paul's apostleship. Men have created a religion that is a combination of truth and error. There is so little knowledge of the true word that things plainly named as sin in Scripture are now accepted by men under the cloak of the love of God. Men have large numbers of followers in the name of Christ, only to glory over their numbers. There is little desire for the truth. There are things in these verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that are understood only by believers who at one time were bound by carnal things. We were all at one time held captive in the carnal city of Corinth. When the Spirit of God called us, we were held in that stronghold of self. We were bound by a sense of pride and reliance on our own reasoning. It is the power of God through the gospel that cast down the imaginations of our mind. It was the coming to our hearts, the knowledge of God, that freed us from this stronghold of unbelief. Paul had reminded these saints of this in an earlier letter. The same thing is true of all who believe. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Those that have been liberated by the gospel rejoice in the knowledge of God they have been given. They strive to bring every thought under obedience to Christ. They stand by these words of Paul, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth."